This morning we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to talk to you this morning about Kazak and Amatz. We'll explain those in just a moment. Some of those are familiar words, but Kazak and Amatz, we're doing that as a part of our series that we're entitling Good Reminders. We're taking the first part of the summer to be reminded of some things that are important in the life of our church, whether this is your first time here or you come all the time. We want to share this with you. It is Father's Day, so thank you to the dads who took the time to come. I said this in the first service, and I'll give you the context again in this service, but we want this message to be an encouragement to all of us. This message is for everybody who's here, everybody who's listening online. But we want it especially to be an encouragement to dads. Pastor Will challenged me some time ago and said, after our men's retreat, he said, the men's retreat is good, but why at every men's retreat does somebody teach about loving your wife? Husbands, love your wives. He said, do they teach the women on women's retreat to submit to their husbands? I said, no, they never teach that at women's retreat. But for some reason, we always teach things at men's retreat. We kind of hammer the guys on the same things over and over and over again, and they're God's word, but we kind of hammer the guys on those things. And the women don't always do that. Not that the women are not challenged. Please don't hear that. But today, men, I want to encourage you. That's the goal of the message today. Not to come down on you in any way, not even to challenge you in any way, but to encourage you. And I want to say thank you to the men who took the time to come and be here at church today. You dads, you men that took the time to come, thank you. You could have been a million other places. Maybe you had other offers to be in other places today, but you chose to come to church. Some of you brought your families with you. That's a big deal. Thank you for doing that. I want to encourage you today. We're going to do that with some scriptures that I think are important, especially in our day and age, because as we look at our society, and literally if you take the time to look at our society, if you look, take commercials, for instance. The other day, I was watching a sporting event, and I was watching some of the commercials, and I was hard-pressed to find a commercial that made men look like normal, good guys. Instead, they're confused, they're unintelligent, they can't find their way, they're incompetent, over and over and over again. And I just began to look at the commercials, at how bad they are looking at men in our world. And so today, men, I want to encourage you. There's a story here in Joshua chapter 1. Actually, the whole book of Joshua is the story of the leader Joshua. Now, you'll see as we read this morning that Joshua became a leader after Moses died. He had been a servant. He had been a part of Moses' team. He had been raised up for what was about to take place. When Moses died, God said, Joshua, you're it. Moses died at the point where the nation of Israel was about to enter the promised land. God didn't allow Moses, who had gone through all of the turmoil of helping get the nation of Israel out of Egypt, had gone through all the turmoil of going 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of the disobedience of some of the leaders. And now here they are on the steps, the doorstep of being able to go into the promised land for the first time. All they have to do is cross the Jordan River. And God says to Moses, because he disobeyed, he wasn't going to go in, and he actually died. And so God raises up Joshua to take the nation of Israel in. And the book of Joshua is how God used Joshua to take the nation of Israel in to take over the promised land, to do what God had given them to do, to inherit the promise that God had given them. Joshua was chosen to be the next leader. So listen to these scriptures in the context of that. Joshua chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, God's word says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and there you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So again, the Lord speaks to Joshua after Moses' death. He instructs him to be the leader to help the nation of Israel cross into the promised land. All they have to do is cross the Jordan, and the Lord's going to take care of the Jordan. He's going to make it dry for them, just like he did the Red Sea 40 years earlier when they started their journey. But you see in verse 3, he tells Joshua that every single place where they step is part of God's promise. And he gives them the details of that in verse 4. He tells them the land is from the Mediterranean Sea in the west all the way to the Jordan River in the east, all the way to the northern edge of Israel or up near Syria, all the way down up towards Lebanon and then south all the way through the desert. It's what you and I look today at a map of Israel and see. God gave them that land. It's what God had promised to his people, and his promise still holds, even though they've gone through many different changes, many challenges in their life. He reminds them in verse 4 that the land that they will possess is the land that God had promised to Abraham, the father of Israel, also to Isaac and to Jacob, and also to Moses. In verse 5, he tells them that no enemy will stand against God's people. You see, God had told Moses, and he tells Joshua, that when they go into the land, they're going to have to fight some battles. But don't worry about those battles, because there are people who've come and taken over the land. They've established cities. God says this is the land that God had promised to his people. So they're going to have to fight some battles. It's not always going to be easy. But if you remember some of the stories, it's pretty amazing how God gives them victory over their enemies. It's usually not by military might. Remember the first battle when they cross the Jordan? The first city they come to is Jericho. God tells them to walk around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, walk 7 times around the city. That's not normal military behavior. He tells them to shout, and the walls of the city that were massive fall. They had to then go in and take over the city. God did that. And throughout their time of taking possession of the promised land, we can see through Joshua and other scriptures that God gave them land in, again, non-military fashion in a lot of ways. It wasn't about their might. It wasn't about their strength. It wasn't about their wit. It wasn't about their common sense. It was about God giving them victory, and God kept his promise. He promised them in verse 5 that God himself would be with them. Look at the end of verse 5. He says, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. That phrase, fail you or forsake you, literally means I will not drop you. I will not abandon you. God is not taking them into the land and say, see, I have a nice life, I'm done with you. No, he is going to continue to walk with them, even though they're going to have to go in battle, even though they're going to have to take care of their business, even though they're going to have to do what God has called them to do, to take possession of the land that he has given them. Then I want you to see verse 6 again, because this is a phrase that we want to anchor on. It's key verses, key words for us today. He says to them, be strong and courageous. Now he says this to Joshua first. He says, Joshua, I want you to be, God says this, I want you to be strong and courageous. The word strong in Hebrew is kazak. Kazak literally means to be strong. It means to stand firm, be steadfast, prevail. It means to man up. Men, you know what that means? It means not be what the world says, but we be what God says, even though the world may make fun of you, even though your family may not always follow you. Be the man that God has called you to be. Be strong. Be kazak. Be strong in all that you do. Kazak is the Hebrew word for be strong. Can you say kazak with me? Kazak. Say it again like you mean it. Kazak. Kazak means man up. Be strong. Be firm. Then he says, not only be strong, but be courageous. Courageous is the Hebrew word amatz. Can you say amatz with me? Amatz. Say it again. Amatz. Good. Amatz means to be brave, to be bold, to be courageous, to stand firm, even in the midst of battle. He tells the nation of Israel through Joshua to be strong and courageous. He doesn't tell Joshua to sit back on his stool and just watch everything happen. He tells Joshua he's going to have to lead. He's going to have to be strong and courageous. He's going to have to kazak and amatz. And he tells Joshua that he will lead Joshua, God will lead Joshua, to lead the people, the nation of Israel, to possess the land that God has given them. Then in verse 7, he says the exact same thing. And when we see in Scripture that God repeats something, he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to emphasize something to us to not only pay attention, but grab a hold of it. Look at what he says again in verse 7. He says, only be strong, kazak, and be very courageous, amatz. He says to them again, be strong. What's the word for strong? Kazak, good. What's the word for being bold or courageous? Amatz, good. He tells them again to be strong and very courageous. The word very here means to be exceedingly, to show great might or force. In other words, do it. You've got God with you. He's going to give you victory over the enemies that are going to try to come against you. God has given you the land, so go in with strength and courage. Go in with kazak and amatz. Notice what else he says in verse 7. This is the key. He said, obey the law of God. Obey the word of God that God gave to Moses. You go back and read in the Scriptures. You can read in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. You can see here in Joshua how God gives word to his people. He gives them the word of God. He tells them that's what's going to give them their strength. It's not about physical strength. It's not about emotional strength. It's about knowing the word of God and living out that word by being obedient to it. Notice what else he says in verse 7. He says, as you go into the land, don't turn to the right or to the left. God knows that when they go into the land, they're going to come across people who believe in other gods, little g, plural s, or no God at all. And he's trying to help them understand that the one true God that we talked about last week, that there is no other. And they need to follow him. They don't need to turn to the right or to the left. Who cares if somebody says, well, I prayed to this God and my wife got pregnant, or I prayed to this God and made a sacrifice and it rained. Those gods don't have anything to do with that. The one true God does. And he says, don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay focused on the word of God. And if you do, you will have success in God's eyes. In other words, you'll be found righteous or in right standing with God because you're following his word. He even encourages them further and tells them not to let the word of God depart from them, but in fact, they should meditate on it. They should utter it. They should think about it. They should muse on it. They should chew on it. They should act on it. That reminds me of some verses that it may remind you of. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what the psalmist says. It says the exact same thing. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. What's the key in following God? It's knowing his word. It's meditating on his word. It's grabbing a hold of his word. Many of us may spend time reading the word of God. Maybe in the morning you have the priority of reading some scripture. Do you think about it at all once you close the Bible the rest of the day? Maybe you read scripture at night before you go to bed to help get you ready to go to sleep. Do you think about what you read again at any point? Or do you have to go back and reread it to remind yourself? He's asking them here in the Old Testament, he tells us throughout scripture, that our focus as believers should be on the word of God. If we truly want to be strong and courageous, it's about following God. It's about knowing his word. It's about having it on our hearts and in our minds day and night. Meditating on it, making it a part of who we are, thinking about it, talking about it. His word is the key. You can't be strong in your own strength. You can't be courageous in your own strength and handle everything that God is going to allow you to go through. But you can in his strength. Look at what he says again the third time in verse 9. God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you?" In other words, it's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's a command of God to Joshua to be strong and courageous, to kazak and amatz. Can you say that with me? To kazak and amatz, to be strong and courageous. He says, "Do not tremble," in the middle of verse 9, "or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua then encourages them to get ready. We read this earlier. He challenged the leaders of the nation to go among their people and tell them to pack up all their stuff. "We're not staying here." He said, "We're about to cross, and within 3 days we're going to cross. So pack up all your stuff. Gather all of your gear. Get your family ready and be ready, because when God says go, we're going to go, and we're going to do it in the strength and power of the Lord. We're not going to do it in our own strength." God has challenged Joshua to do this. Now he's calling the nation of Israel to get ready. And then something amazing happens. God tells Joshua to talk to the leaders of 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. You see, when Moses was telling the people that they needed to get ready to go in before he died, there were leaders of 2.5 tribes that came to Moses and said, "You know what? We don't really need to go into the promised land. We look around and we see land on this side of the Jordan, and we like it. We think it's perfect for us. So we want you to give us this land." So Moses went to God and they said, "You know what? We're tired of messing with all these people. We'll give them land on this side. This isn't the promised land, but we'll give them this land. However, your leaders and your warriors have to go with the nation of Israel into the promised land. They have to fight the battles with us, and once all the battles are fought, then they can go back and join the families. They can go back and join their livestock. They can stay on the other side, beyond the Jordan, that again wasn't the promised land." And notice what they say to him. The leaders talk, they respond back to Joshua, and starting in verse 16. But down in verse 18, they tell him that they will fully follow his commands because they know God is leading him. And if they don't, they'll make sure that whoever doesn't is put to death. And then they, the 2.5 tribes leaders, say to Joshua, again for the fourth time in these 18 verses, "Only be strong and courageous. Only kazak and amatz." So again, I want to say to all of our dads, thank you for showing kazak and amatz. I know it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy in your own family. Sometimes it's not easy at work. Sometimes it's not easy in this world that we live in with your friends or your buddies, even those that are closest to you. But thank you for showing Kazakh and Amatz, even in difficult circumstances. God knows what you're walking through. He understands the bigger picture, even when you and I don't. But he gives us encouragement today to show Kazakh and Amatz. Again, to you dads that made sure that today, Father's Day, was a day to come to church, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do that. That's not always done. But I want to say thank you to you for showing Kazakh and Amatz when maybe your friends were trying to get you to do something else today. Or maybe even in your mind you thought it'd be better if I go do this or do that today. Thank you for taking the time to come and bring your family with you today. Or if you came by yourself, thank you for doing that. Kazakh and Amatz means strength and courage. And Kazakh and Amatz is what we need sometimes to make it through the day, all of us. Kazakh and Amatz is what we sometimes need to be the dad who builds up rather than tears down. It's also what we need to be the husband or even the spouse that pleases God. Kazakh and Amatz is what we need to establish the habit and the priority of spending time with the Lord on a daily basis. It's also what we need to care about someone who doesn't really care about us. Kazakh and Amatz is what we need to experience peace in the middle of the storms of life. Kazakh and Amatz is what we need to give our tithe to the Lord first. It's also what we need to study for a test in a subject that we just don't understand. Kazakh and Amatz is what we need to be bold in our witness for Christ. It's also what we need to handle a long-term illness of our own or somebody else's. Kazakh and Amatz is the trust that we need that his word is always and forever true and works throughout generations. It's also what we need to not respond harshly when criticism comes. Kazakh is what we need to pay our bills and save before we spend on our pleasures. It's what we need to go to that job that doesn't provide fulfillment like you thought. It's also what we need to be a friend to someone who is not being a friend back. Kazakh is what we need to ask for help. It's also what we may need to memorize and learn the Word of God. Kazakh and Amatz is what we need to admit when we make a mistake or even commit a sin. It's also what we need to reach out to the one who has hurt us. It's also what we need to stay up in the middle of the night with that child who just can't sleep or is not feeling well. Kazakh and Amatz is what we need when we pray and we're too tired to literally keep our eyes open. It's also what we need to handle the layoffs that may be coming. It's also what we need to get up and come to church on Father's Day. Again, thank you to you men who are here or online with us today that are showing Kazakh and Amatz in your life. I praise God for you, and happy Father's Day. I want us to pray for our men, so if you are a dad, would you stand, please? We want to pray for you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. After the prayer, we're going to sing a last song together. And gentlemen, we're going to give you a gift today. We want to give you a pin that's over here on these tables. And it has the church name on it, but it also has the words Kazakh and Amatz on it. I want it to be an encouragement to you today. So during this song, I want you to come get one, and I encourage it to be a reminder to you. Also, men, while you're coming up here on the steps, we're going to pray for our youth campers here in just a minute, but over here on the steps are orange armbands that have the name of every adult and every student that's going to camp. We'd ask you, men, to grab one. And don't worry about what the name is on it. You're going to pray for your own kids, but grab one here. And then take it back with you and use it. You can put it on your arm and remember it this week, or put it in your Bible, or put it on your dinner table and lead your family to pray for that person, even if you don't know who they are, for this week of youth camp. So men, would you join me, and church family, would you join me as we pray together? Father, I thank you for the dads in this room, and I thank you for those that will be dads. And Father, I thank you for the men that took the time to come to church this morning. They could have gone anywhere else today. They could have made an excuse and not come. But Father, I thank you that they're here, and I pray that you would encourage them. And Father, I pray that you would help us as dads to show Kazakh and Amatz even when it's hard. Father, I praise you that you are the one who gives us the strength and the courage to live this life that isn't always easy. You're the one who gives us the kazak and amatz to help lead our families. You're the one who gives us kazak and amatz when we've done things that we know we regret or that are sinful that we need to repent of and turn from. Father, I thank you that you have called us to serve you as men. And I thank you for these men who took the time to come on Father's Day to church. And I pray that you'd bless them, and I pray that you'd encourage them. Father, thank you for giving us kazak and amatz. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.